The NAFTA podcast.
Sometimes may be good, sometimes may be shit.
All right, NAFTA podcast, we're back. It's one of the episodes. It's one of them. You got myself, you got Michael, you got Dylan. We're coming off of a Manchester derby. Don't read too much into it. It's not a coincidence that Nick isn't here. There's a lot of United losses that'll happen this season, and you know, sometimes it's just going to line up that he isn't here, and United totally shit the bed, look like an awful club, and are a bit mid table. Michael, how you doing? Big win by the Buckeyes.
Big win by the Bucks. Celebrate that last night. Only to be let down in normal fashion by the Browns, who just blew, literally minutes ago, blew a lead to the Seahawks. I did win my parlay for the Browns, though, so shout out to them for that.
Yep. We actually lost to the Seahawks because, whatchamacallit, what's Adam's first name? The safety? Just headed a ball at the line of scrimmage to get the interception. Dylan, you're coming in a little worse for wear, but you're still here.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of I can see the football misery where I've already moved on to hockey season, but the Giants also, you know, decided to fumble back. Also, watching that game was painful. So like that was
20. Wasn't it 29 punts?
Yeah,
I thought it was 35, but yeah, it was.
That's. I mean, either way. What's the difference between 29 and 35 in the grand scheme of things?
The game would have been over and not gone for an extra 10 minutes to make you have to watch more of it. It was a disaster. I'd rather talk about this football where also spooky things happened, and I'm not excited to talk about that either.
Yeah. I'm more meant to that you were crushing a pizza that looked really good because the hangover monster's still at you.
Chipotle chicken personal pie is... the chef's kiss to end a weekend.
The name of that is just hilarious. Chipotle chicken personal pie. All right, so we're in. Nick, I do believe, was doing some housework. You know, he's getting ready to be married, so we'll let it slide. We'll let it pass.
Duck hunting.
Oh, geez, really?
He was building his blind today.
Oh, all right. Well, you know, hopefully this year we'll get some duck from him. I'll take a duck breast, however many he gets.
Never. I mean, I know he has. I just think he's gonna listen to this. He's gonna come back so fiery with what you guys are probably gonna say about United. And this is like, I think he shoots at ducks. I don't think he hits ducks.
Okay. All right. So better overall results. Nick duck hunting or Man United this season? We got to go United, I guess.
I think United will get more points, but just barely.
Love it. It was a big week. There were great results. Dylan, your team basically is on a roll. Michael, not only did you get a W, but the father of one of your players is safe and sound, hopefully.
That's reported. Yeah.
Sources, we're getting that in, which is a wild story. And then on top of that, you know, shout out to Craig. We got to do it. Got a dub.
Absolutely.
Bournemouth, the first win. Got to shout our guy out. He's a great lad. Let's get into Dudes of the Week. Recording this on a Sunday night, as you guys have probably figured out. It's going to be not low energy pod, but I think that there is, like we just said, Dylan's recovering, Michael's recovering, I'm recovering from this Browns game, which might as well have been shrinking. Let's do this. I'll go first. I don't think I've gone first yet. Dylan, you got the tie, which is basically a win for Wolves. You can go second. Michael, sorry, you're the odd man out, going third. And I do think, let's do a fourth round today, and it'll be just the dickhead of the week. Someone the opposite of a dude that we want to give it to.
It's so funny good? That you want to do this given what happened in your game.
I think that it's apropos.
You're just itching to do a dickhead of the week.
Apropos. So I'll start us off here. Dude of the week is Erling Haaland back on the score sheet. I kind of called this last week. I figured he'd get a couple goals against United. Just too brolic for the back line. Too big, too fast, too strong. He is the Iceland Mighty Ducks. He is the man. Two goals. Big win for us, too, you know? Could have been upset. Big win. Dylan, who's your first dude of the week?
I'll go with Thomas Frank for having more wins in Stamford Bridge since April than the whole team in Chelsea.
It's funny that you brought that up, though, Dylan, because last pod, there is a clip of you saying, like, you're all in on Chelsea again.
Did I actually say that? There's no way.
Something like that.
You did quickly follow up. It's like, hey, I'm trying to mush him. And we were like, all right, cool.
It worked.
Secret agent.
Yeah, good job.
Yeah, absolutely. Michael, round one, round two, who you got?
All right, I'm going for the tag team. First, as you mentioned, due to the week, Luis Diaz. Hope your family's great. I got this signed picture of you scoring on David De Gea. I'm going to kiss it before I go to bed. Make sure everything's good with your family. Dots, T's and P's up for you. And then Diogo Jota is my second pick, scoring the first goal, holding the jersey up in front of the Anfield crowd. Very touching moment for Liverpool Football Club and that family.
Just love camaraderie. We love a close-knit group, just like we have
I love when the people I like are also friends.
Yeah. I like dude love. Dude love is great.
Yeah, dude
like,
love.
Just
dude
hanging.
Love.
Hanging with the guys. Dylan, who you got?
I will be going with the Wolves supporters' cleverness. I'm sure you guys were, you know, really tuned in to the game and listening to what they were chanting. But after a call that we will probably get into some discussion on my boy Huang and circumstantial penalty, they chanted champions of PGMO MOL apology letters. You'll never sing that. So good on the lads.
Love it. The bants from Wolves. I don't know when we did our podcast with Alex, you guys kept talking about it, but that social team actually is elite. It's an elite social team as well. There's a lot of good stuff coming out of there. All right, I got two. They're going to be pander picks for sure, at least one of them. Shout out to Vivian James Klunk. My best friend growing up, Brendan, is now a dad, which is fucking scary, let me tell you. Kind of wild. But VJC is in the building, and she's a cute kid. Not an ugly baby. She's a cute kid. So
We love.
So yeah. Well, she's a woman, but named after...
But Brendan, though.
Yeah. Shout out to Brendan. And then also, her middle name is named after his wife Samantha's dad, which, if you know anything about Brendan's mom, she got a couple drinks in her, and she was not pumped about that. She let the party know about it. She goes, what the hell? But it's all love. It's all good. So, VJC, welcome to the world. Gotham's FC kit coming soon to that kid. And then, Michael, this one's for you. I was listening to a couple pods this week. My third pick for Dude of the Week is future Sheffield United manager Chris Wilder. Rumors are he's coming back. So shout out to him. It's always good to get your job back.
Please don't be before this week.
no new manager bounce, please. But he's in line, they say. So Chris Wilder, welcome back to the Prem. Maybe. Who's to say? Dylan, third pick.
Let's see. Where do I want to go with this? We'll go with Daniel Gazdag, the Hungarian hitman, and the Philadelphia Union for dominating the first leg against the New England Revolution on their way.
Hold on. Not a leg. It's a best of three series.
Whatever. Dominating what is ultimately going to be, like, the Union moving their way back to MLS Cup for redemption.
You can say sweep, I think.
Sure, they're going to
sweep them. Yeah, there you go. I hate the MLS playoffs. I'm anti-playoffs now. I'm not even a playoff fan. But shout out to the Union. I like when Dylan's happy. Michael, third pick.
Third pick. So do I go pick and then dickhead of the week immediately after?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, okay. So last dude of the week pick, Philip Billing. Audacious goal to give Bournemouth their first win of the season. Just nasty. Just a rude thing to do to that poor goalkeeper. I think it's Trafford, right?
Yeah.
Sorry, buddy. But that was just kind of filthy. And then... I don't think this is like a dickhead of the week, but just something that I couldn't really think of somebody because I would pick who you're gonna pick, obviously. But shout out Vincent Kompany getting on there after that game and bitching and moaning about the VAR decision, you know, don't understand why, like, how could you get it so wrong? Same thing when Liverpool Spurs happened. He's like, we just got to get on with it. We can't whine about these decisions, blah, 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 blah. So hope that tastes good.
Yeah, I mean, Vincent, he learned from the best, you know?
It was also, like, it's annoying. I called you after it, and I was like, dude, this VAR decision just took, like, 7 minutes. But they ended up getting it correct, which is, yes. At the end of the day, the most important thing. But I will say it was fucking annoying how long it took.
But let's make sure the people know the NAFTA podcast stance is automatic VAR in, please.
Yeah.
Automatic offsides. Yeah.
Yes, it's so ridiculous that we didn't do that. And that's on the clubs and, like, the managers, right?
Yeah, for sure. They vote. Dylan, yeah. Okay. Last pick.
I'll be honest. I don't know if I have a dickhead of the week, so we'll just say whoever the ref was that made a dumbass call by saying...
I got you. I'll look for it.
But that, I don't have a lot of hate in my heart this weekend.
Now, Dylan's too positive, you know? He's the positive light to the podcast.
I guess if I'm going to hate... Actually, if I'm going to hate someone, Pedro Neto's hamstring, I'm very upset with... That's my dickhead of the week.
Good call. Good call. Nagging hamstring. All right. I'm not going to belabor this. It's Anthony for me. And I'm not going to go too much into
there's
it.
There's no H, I will say, by the way.
Anthony. I said Anthony.
Anthony. You said Anthony for sure.
Anthony. Anyway, I don't say this often, but brother, I hope you don't beat that charge. Like, I'm cool with it. Like, yeah, I don't like this guy at all. And
I hope you don't beat that charge.
So we'll get more into it later, but it's a good comment. What are you talking about, guys?
Yeah. You got to stand by. You can't look at us for approval. Like, you got to stand on your own morals there.
Hey, I believe all women. Look,
very good.
Great week of the Prem. Big wins. We thought Chelsea's back. They're not. Tottenham still look pretty strong. Arsenal just put a whooping on Sheffield United, and Bournemouth won 2-1 for their first win. Let's go through the fly-through games. Palace 1, Tottenham 2. Ward had an own goal in the 53rd that gave Spurs the lead. Son followed it back up in the 66th minute with a goal to give a 2-0 lead. Son's been playing really well this season as well. Andre Ayew in the 90th plus 4 with a great goal for Palace, but it was all for not 2-1 win there. As we mentioned before, Bournemouth beat Burnley 2-1. Burnley had the first goal, though. Taylor in the 11th. Semenyo in the 22nd tied it up, and then Michael mentioned Philip Billing with just a ridiculous goal at around midfield, give Bournemouth all 3 points there. A little shocker, we almost did this one as a deep dive game, but didn't. West Ham 0, Everton 1. DCL with the only goal in this one, 51st minute. We definitely want to get a Hank check here soon, so if you don't have one today, definitely want to ask him about how he's feeling with this Everton squad here coming up. But they don't look as bad as we thought recently, which is kind of frustrating for Michael. Arsenal 5, Sheffield United 0. Nketiah had a hat trick, 28, 50, and 58. Vieira with a goal in the 88th, and then Tomiyasu in stoppage time plus 6. Big win there. Villa, they keep rolling. McGinn in the 17th, Diaby in the 49th, and then an own goal by Luton in the 62nd had them up 3-0. And then another own goal by Villa was the lone goal for Luton, a 3-1 win there. Brighton tied 1-1 with Fulham. Maybe the shock result of the week, to be totally honest. Big dunks in the 26th minute gave the Seagulls a 1-0 lead, but Fulham wouldn't be denied. 65th minute by Polina. Tied game there. I think we're going to talk about this a bit, but Brighton give up way too many opportunities. And then Michael... Big 3-0 win over the Forest. Jota in the 31st, Nunez in the 35th, and Salah in the 77th. The front line all get a goal for Liverpool, which is a good sign. All 3 points for Klopp. Tottenham's still good, right?
Yeah, but, I mean, they had one shot on goal.
Yeah.
And it was Son's goal.
Yeah. Dylan, what are your thoughts? You're level-headed.
I think you just got to ride the wave. Like, if you're a Spurs fan, don't apologize for winning. If you're going to keep winning, keep doing it. Because eventually, like, the shoe probably is going to drop. And by me saying this, it means they're probably going to end up winning the league, so you're welcome. But, like, eventually they're going to drop points and lose a game, so enjoy it. You're probably going to get in top four. And, like, they still – their defense is extremely sound, which is something I never thought I'd actually say about the Spurs in the past probably 5 years or longer. I think that's their biggest, like, strength at the moment.
I actually really like Pedro Porro recently, at the very least. Van de Ven's played very, very well. So is Romero. So, like, that back line is good, and I do think that the freedom that they have up top now with Son not having just an energy suck. And Harry Kane's amazing. This is not a dig on Harry Kane, but you gotta... It's kind of like how, Michael, you and I were talking about the Browns. Like, our quarterback just looks at Cooper every time there is a big play. So it's kind of like when they got the ball, they're looking at Kane to give him some points there, you know? Give him some goals.
Yeah, I mean... I would not do them the disservice of comparing them to the Cleveland Browns, but...
Fair enough. We'll keep our eye on Tottenham. I do think this shoe's going to drop at some point, but like Dylan said, don't apologize for winning. Are Burnley going to get relegated?
Seems like it.
They're not good.
So they're not very fucking good.
No. Not very good at all. Yeah.
That don't we always sit here and go, like, when the three teams come up, there's one that we're like... Usually the team that wins, but I think even last year, it wasn't so much anybody was, like, gonna stay up or, like, get into 10, 11, 12, something like that. We were, a lot of people were really on Burnley. They look terrible.
Yeah.
Like, they can't fire company, right? Because, like, I feel like there's been so much hoopla for them that, like, you can't just... I don't know. It might be their undoing is that they're going to be too loyal to him and it's going to be too late. But, like, I think we talked about this a lot in the beginning. We kept saying that he's going to change tactics or he can adjust and all this. And, like, clearly he can't. And that's – I don't know. I don't think he's your successor there, John.
No, that's the biggest thing. Actually, that's a great point. What I was going to bring up is, like, the key indicator that maybe they're not as good as we thought is Pep's not saying he's the next coach. He's saying De Zerbi is, so – maybe I'll follow Pep's logic there. They do struggle to play differently. Like, they have an idea and they just go after it, and that's about it. Michael, you got a smirk.
I don't know. Just it comes off super, like, weirdly arrogant for Pep to be like, De Zerbi's the next guy. Like, he's the next me a little bit to me. I don't know.
Play very similarly. De Zerbi doesn't defend very well. Pep always struggled with, you know, us defending. I think Pep can kind of do what he wants.
Well, yeah, obviously. Like, he can do whatever he wants, but I'm just saying it just comes off a little bit like the coach that everyone's talking about being unbelievable. He's like, oh, yeah, he's going to be my successor.
You know, let Pep.
You know what I mean?
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Everton. Hey,
listen, I don't give a fuck about Burnley because Bournemouth won. So.
Yeah. And you know what? We're not trying to take the spotlight off Craig. Shout out to Craig.
We do have to stop saying his name so goddamn much on this podcast.
Or if we do, I got to clip it and send it to him how often we talk about him, because I don't think he has any idea. West Ham just going through a funk, I think, right now, to be totally honest with you. I think they're a decent team. They're obviously in ninth, but losing to Everton at home, not a great sign.
No.
So, Dylan, did you have anything from Hank?
About this game, no. He ended up buying a fish tank, so I think he was excited and... doing that but I don't know I'm sure you're gonna clip and tell me I said something last pod too that contradicts what I'm probably saying now, but you know what, opinions change week in, week out, so I'm gonna say it. There were points I know I've flip-flopped. I don't think Everton's as bad as we thought, where they still can't score and their XG, because I know Michael loves this, was I think what, 0.5 or something like that. So, like, they got their striker to finally put one behind the net. I think that's confidence building, and I think it's either Everton's going to win a 1-0 game and it's going to be gross and ugly, or they're going to lose 3-0. There's no in between. You just have to try and guess when it's going to happen. And, like, West Ham, you say they're in a funk. Like, they haven't won a game or, like, done anything in, what, the past, like, 5 or 6 games. And, like, I know they can get out of it, but, like, they didn't look good in Europe either. And they're not going to have... like, that competition, potentially, like it's a lot tougher than the Conference League. So, I don't know. Eventually, they just got to figure out where their priorities are going to be, and I'm sure they'll figure out by the end. But this is what they did last year, too. They just moseyed around.
And yeah.
Eventually figured it out.
To your point, they just lost to Olympiacos 2-1, Villa 4-1 last weekend, and then tied Newcastle 2-2, which we would say is a pretty decent result, but I do think it's they'll get out of it. I think Moisey's a pretty good coach. Yeah.
They also rotated pretty heavy against Olympiacos because they were already they had two wins in that. I don't think they were, which is I would say is kind of concerning that then they lost to Everton because yeah. I think that they were kind of like we don't particularly care about Olympiacos right now. I think they're I was trying to think of like the tiers of teams right now. And I think they're like one or two tiers, probably two tiers off like the top tier. But I think they could beat anybody, but like they're still going to lose games that they definitely shouldn't lose.
Yeah. Keep this in mind too. I don't know if you guys have filled out your predictions yet. Paquita out next week because too many yellow cards. So keep Damn. That in mind. Arsenal bad or Sheffield? Sheffield's bad. I was wrong.
Sheffield's not good.
I thought Luton was the worst team. I think Sheffield is. And I was actually reminded of this. I was actually reminded of this because I'm watching the Wrexham doc. I forgot that Wrexham should have beat Sheffield last year.
Twice.
In the first leg. Yeah. Crazy. So.
Oh, you did put Luton last. Yeah. I think we all put Sheffield.
I had Sheffield last and I switched it.
Yeah, I'm the only one. I thought we usually do this like the second team. I always think is the worst team. Like the team that finished second in the championship for some reason.
Didn't have to prove it in a playoff and then didn't win the league. So
kind of yeah, crazy. They're like they're just not winners.
Villa look good. As funky as West Ham look, Villa look really good. Again, Luton not a very good team, but John McGinn, Ollie Watkins, Diaby, Kamara, Dinier, Matty Cash, like they've all played very, very well this season. Tillman's finally getting some burn too, Michael. We've chronicled that this year so far. But I think they're gonna be in Europe. 10 games in, you ask me.
Oh, yeah.
I agree with that.
I was gonna ask, do you think they could get top four? Or I think the four teams above them are too good. I think they might be the fifth best team in the league.
Yeah. Dylan, what do you think?
I don't think they get top four, but I think they make don't take this the wrong way, Michael, only because I think they make Liverpool and Tottenham sweat a little bit. Where I think eventually they will get there, but I think they make them worry that there might be Europe in back to back years.
Dylan's showing his whole ass as to who's number one and two in his book, so
I think, look at my table. That's what true. I have.
True.
So I think it's really good that we've played them at home and won. Fair. So we only have to see them one more time. I don't know when they play Spurs, but it just depends because like I think Spurs kind of going back to them against Palace, like I think if they played like that against Villa, home or away, they would have lost. Like how they did against Palace. I think Spurs get up for games right now under Ange, which I think is good because like, you know, you're playing a good team, you want to play well. I think it's like if you go to Villa and you get a draw, that's a good result right now because that place is a fucking fortress.
They're a good team. Good.
Oh, I just think it's a great point, Michael, that like I am actually excited for whenever Villa plays Spurs. Because I think when we're talking about don't apologize for winning, if Spurs can handle Villa, I think that changes my outlook even more than it already probably has changed for Spurs, as opposed to the other way around. It'd be like, yeah, I knew Villa was good. Let's keep moving.
So yeah. Just so everyone knows, Thanksgiving, a little treat, November 26th, Villa goes to Tottenham.
Ooh, lovely.
That'll be nice.
That'll be a good
nice
one.
Nice little break
that'll be
watching
really good
that one.
One.
I do think... My top two is a little bit different. I do think that City, Liverpool, Arsenal, Tottenham, however you want to stack rank them, that's your top four this year. I am interested to see the Villa, Newcastle, Brighton battle. Which brings me to my next point. Brighton, 1-1 with Fulham. Bad result. Michael, we were texting back and forth a little bit about this. This was at home. This is at the Amex. What's the What? How are you feeling about this Brighton team? Because now they also are on their West Ham with a couple of weird results lately as well.
Yeah, so I guess I wouldn't... I'm not really saying anything about us, like, us tying them there. Because I think, again, it could be just a tough game, tough result both ways. Not saying anything about going to City and losing. I mean, obviously, before that, what, they had the 6-1 and then the 1-0 loss in the cup to Chelsea. So they've been kind of on a skid. I just don't think, when I look at Fulham, I don't see how they're going to score. So, like, mm-hmm. when I saw them up 1-0 early, I was like, okay, well, here comes 2-3-4. And once you get to 2, I just don't see Fulham competing. And they just let them hang around, and then they nicked a goal and can't score.
Fulham did score the only way they can score, and that's Polina.
Yeah.
Like, that's well, it. That's
who almost got sent off for halftime, too.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. This seems interesting. They did beat a Ajax team right before this, too, that is in shambles, pretty much. I think they just beat Feyenoord today, but they're interesting. They give up too many opportunities, too many shots, to be honest.
So this is the thing I also think is, and I'm just looking at FotMob and how they set up. It looks like they set up 3-2-4-1, which I don't think they've done all year. They've done a 4-4-2-3-1 most of the time. And obviously that changes, like, in and out of possession, whatever. I think they have he has so many guys that offer something that he wants to play that mm-hmm. there isn't like that cohesion necessarily between players. Like, you know, McAllister, Szoboszlai, and now like Gravenberch are all playing. Like they're going to be in the midfield, okay, for right now. The back line doesn't change. The front three, for the most part, except for maybe one guy, doesn't really change. I understand you want to get all these guys, like, time, and that's, I think, how they make money off of these guys, because they have moments, people think they can go get them for X amount of dollars, and they sell them. But if you're trying to win games, there has to be a little bit of, like, consistency. It's in some parts of the game. And I just think sometimes, like, they're just a pass or two off from putting 5 goals past you, and when it works, they do put 5 goals past you. But when it doesn't, they tie Fulham at home.
Yeah. I think that's a sound assessment. Dylan, any thoughts, Brighton-wise?
No, I shut this game off to watch City United right before Fulham scored, thinking, well, this is boring. Fulham's not doing anything. Like, Brighton's just going to suffocate the life out of this game. And then I saw they scored, and I was like, oh, guess I should have shut it off. So in terms of my analysis, I wish I could give you some more, because that's probably the whole point of this podcast. But ultimately, like, Brighton fucked up.
Yeah, you're good. Last point on this, like I've been saying, Brighton, 4th most amount of goals scored, 4th most amount of goals given up too. Just like that mathematics doesn't work really well for them. Yeah, 19 goals given up, 23 goals scored. They would be just better than Bournemouth, Luton Town, Burnley, and Sheffield United. Michael, quick thoughts on your Liverpool.
I, at no point did I think Nottingham Forest was ever going to score, which is something that I haven't been able to say in a long time. Van Dijk and Konate were great. Szoboszlai, and I actually think Gravenberch is unreal too, but Szoboszlai was great. I'm trying to think of Jota's, like, I mean, people are talking about we should never have signed him and we should get rid of him, and dude scores all the time. I don't understand
Bring him back.
I know. I think he's great. I don't understand why people don't like him or whatever. And then I guess the only other thing is I think Tsimikas is doing a great job filling in right now for Rabo, which I think kind of goes, because he's having to play like center back too sometimes.
Yeah,
which I'm sure he's not used to doing.
How many games is this now with Konate and Van Dijk finally playing together? Not very many, right?
This is. You mean total this year? This is, yeah, like the first one.
I thought so.
Yeah, first one back.
All right, I thought so. I thought that was like a big storyline too that you got to pay attention to. So, I don't know. Liverpool's good. Don't let them get hot. I think they already are. So we'll see what's going on there. All right, Dylan. Back to back weeks. First time I think ever since we've done the podcast with you, that Wolves are going to be a premier game on the podcast. 2-2, a tie with Newcastle United. As we were joking in our group chat, Wolves, decent against everyone else, maybe bad against some teams, but if you are funded by a whole country in the Middle East and oil money, they just show out and they play really, really well. Callum Wilson opened the scoring in the 22nd minute for Newcastle. Lamina tied it up in the 36th. The controversial penalty that we were talking about was given in the 45th minute, and Wilson put that away too. So 2-1 going into halftime for Newcastle. But Gary O'Neill is Mr. Second Half as of late, and Hwang got the 71st minute goal to tie it up 2-2. Wolves get a point, an important point. It's at home. The fans are loud there too. It's probably a pretty underrated place to play is what I've noticed as well. But the floor is yours, man. Talk about the Wolves.
First off, Molyneux's got great atmosphere. It's been known for it. So just want to throw that out there. Two, Tommy Doyle, second week in a row, very good at passing yet again. Clinical, some would say. Ultimately, I think you brought up a point of that is a good tie for us, and I've never felt like a tie was a loss more from the fact of we are clicking on all cylinders and lost our engine. So I'm hoping we can sort that out in the next couple weeks. And I've been researching hamstring injuries. Apparently could be a week, could be six, could be 8 weeks. So hopefully it's on the shorter end, or it's the best Christmas present ever and we have Pedro back by Boxing Day. But we'll see. I'm really encouraged that no matter what happens this season, hopefully we're staying up. The Wolves are actually fun to watch, and we're attacking. We're playing like when we first came up into the Premier League football of countering and being decisive when we counter. And ultimately, I think if Neto doesn't pull up lame, there's a pass in there where we're up 3-2. And also, we probably should have won 2-1, in my opinion, anyway, because, yes, Wayne could have probably controlled the ball better. However, he hits the ball first in this penalty and is slowing up. Like, if anything, there should have been a card the other way for LeBron Jamesing it. And just total embellishment, in my opinion. So, I don't know. I think Newcastle is still very, very good. I just think that they might have some tired legs at the moment, too. So I don't know. Maybe we caught them at the right spot. But dude, I'll take the point and move on.
I think that's a really great point. I mean, they're coming off of the loss to Dortmund. They're playing way more games than they're used to. They're not as deep as a team that's been in the Champions League for the past couple of years. They only made one substitute in this game. That kind of shows that. But their midweek games are high stress. Yeah. PSG, Milan, Dortmund. Those are going to be... That's what I said. Those are going to be the...
Oh.
Yeah, you're good. those are going to be the games that if you catch them right after that, like, I think you're in a pretty sound spot that they're going to be a little bit tired. But there's something... And I remember watching the City Wolves game that, like, I don't know how to describe it, but you guys just hit in waves. It's weird. It's like there is nothing going on. I feel safe. And then all of a sudden it's like wave number one, wave number two, wave number three, and you just got to fucking hunker down and survive.
But I think that's what a good counter team does, no? Like,
for sure.
I think it's something where it's... I guess if you really want to go through the positives, is one, we went down twice and we battled back and got goals. Which, if we're down 1-0 or even 2-1, I didn't think we could score two goals in a game consistently to where the game's already over. So, like, the fact that we can do that is great in that sense. Two, I think with the circumstances of when Gary O'Neill came on, I think we finally have chemistry of what he truly wants to do, and the team believes in what he's preaching, I guess, in this sense. And I with what Michael just mentioned with, like, what he thinks Brighton is moving too many people around. Like, we're consistently starting the same players week in and week out. And I think the chemistry and cohesion for what Gary O'Neill wants them to do is paying off. And I think the fact that goals are starting to go in, this is basically what we've been lacking for the past 2 years, of the confidence of knowing that we can score and we can be dangerous. And we just have to decide when we want to turn it on. And when we're at Molineux and the supporters are behind them, yes, it is complete waves. Because it's unfortunate that when Pedro got injured, Newcastle basically took control of the game and we were just holding on, I think, to get the point. But yeah, going into that, like, that was the most – I literally dreamt, and this is – I don't know what this says about me, but, like, him pulling up in terms of just, like, spooky season stuff. But also, like, we had a 4-on-3 going with the leading assist giver in the Premier League about to be clinical again, and it looked magnificent until he grabbed his leg. And I think there was about to be 5 more of those to end the game if that doesn't happen.
Real quick, I got 2 questions, and I want Michael, you to chime in too. Their pre-injury, and, like, again, I joke because you guys beat City, but I don't want Wolves to go down. I don't want Dylan to be sad. There's not been a player better and hotter play-wise this year than Neto, right, Michael?
I mean, I would say Douglas Luiz.
Only at home, though, but he's only been good at home.
Yeah, but I mean, he's like good at all phases of the game.
I mean,
like, he is a
every aspect of Neto has been a dude of the week this year.
Yeah,
yeah, for sure. But I also just think he has definitely been one of them. Can get into the argument of who is the one. And Dylan, I think he got on social media and said he's only going to be out for like a couple weeks.
He didn't give a timeline, but he said that it shouldn't be bad. And I also saw a headline that Gary O'Neill is hopeful that it could be not a terrible. Apparently, he was walking around, like, in the locker
room.
That's
afterwards.
Good.
So, the only thing I was thinking about was kind of what you were talking about with that Korean guy. Ever since that comment, he's been pretty red hot too. So, I think there's no way that's a penalty.
Thank you.
Well, that was gonna be my next question. No penalty for you either. No, you're good.
No, I don't know, man. Cause like I can't even the way he fell. It's honestly one of these things. The way he fell down, I don't know what part of Hwang caused him to fall like that.
He didn't, cause he stopped. His leg stopped.
Yeah. So like, if he like pulls like he kind of hits his foot. So if he pulls his foot up and is like holding his foot, then I'm like, okay, at least he's being truthful to where he got hit. But the way he reacted, I was like, I don't know if it's like his knee, like knee to knee and then foot to foot. Like, it just didn't seem like an actual foul to me. It didn't seem like it was very impactful. And, you know, it's not like you can't touch somebody in the box. I just think it was really, really soft.
No penalty for me either. I watched it a couple times. I just thought it's like a, I don't know, it's a coming together of players. I'm sure we're going to get into the penalty that happened at the Manchester Derby, which I think is a little bit different. But I saw that and I was like, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like you wouldn't even call that a foul in the middle of the field.
Your penalty, by the way, yeah, and I know we're going to go into it. What happened in your game, to an extent, happened to Sasa as well. And I think it's just because he's 6'7", they didn't call it, which is also some BS.
Hakasasa.
Basically.
Yeah, I'm going to learn how to say his name, I promise. Chelsea, they lost to Brentford 2-0. Pinnock in the 58th, and then in Mbeumo with a open net breakaway goal that could have went to Neil Mope, but he totally fucked up and got caught. I think we can be quick on this one. Michael, I'll let you lead it off because you were pushing for this to be one of the top three instead of the Everton one.
Yeah, it's just funny. I like when shit's funny. That team, because I'm going to bring my friend Pat up again. It's 1-0, and I go, Pat, I can make a lot of money on a draw here. Do you think you guys have it in you? And he said, not with this lineup. Nobody can score goals. And I'm out there, and it's like, Nicholas Jackson, Sterling. He didn't play Mudrick because he's hurt, I guess, or whatever.
Yep.
No Enzo because he's tired. I think he said, like, muscle fatigue. Like, he's just tired, which I don't blame him because I know all about South American players coming back from international duty, like, on Thursday to play the weekend. It's always going to be an excuse when they lose of, like, the players or not having the right people. But I'm like, again, it weirdly only applies to them because, well, doesn't, not weirdly, it just applies to them because they spent so much fucking money on people. Like, how did you not get the right people?
Yeah. We've literally, on this podcast, we talked about Villa and we talked about West Ham, and we were kind of giving them a pass a little bit. We're like, hey, it's a bad rut. They've brought in a ton of people, too. They've spent a ton of money, too. But the egregiousness of how they spent it, I think we, like, sit here and we're just like, all right, well, like, also, they don't have the history or pedigree of Chelsea. I think that plays into it, too. But, like, I'm way more apt to give another team a pass than this fucking team, for sure.
Yeah. I also just think Brentford, if you go, it's not anything going to Chelsea right now. So, like, they don't have home games. They don't really even have away games. It's just, like, they're just games, you know? If you show up and you can just be, like, solid defensively and have, a game plan and execute a game plan, I think anybody can beat them. Like,
yeah.
They're not... It takes, like, a moment of brilliance from one of those players. Like, again, Mudrick scoring that ridiculous fucking goal. For them to get on the board, because there's no chemistry, there's no cohesion with that team. It's just individual. It's like literally running ISO in basketball. They just run ISO every single play. Mm-hmm. And that's it. And then you're just like, okay, well, hopefully this time we hit a shot. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I don't disagree. I saw some social media post by a Chelsea fan where they're like, it's not Stamford Bridge, it's the Stamford brothel, because everyone comes in here and scores. Essentially, which, yeah, I thought was pretty funny.
That's pretty good.
That would have been a good ending. That would have been a good ending to the pod.
Yeah, I should have sent that to you, actually. Damn it. but what I did also want to say is, by no means, and Michael, I think this goes into your point, by no means do I think that Brentford has figured it out again at all. Mm-hmm. They got West Ham coming up. They got Liverpool. They got Arsenal, Luton, and then Brighton as their next five games. And I'm thinking maybe 4 points out of that?
Four. I mean, I think their best chance...
Luton.
West Ham will be a good one, and then Luton, obviously, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would say four is pretty good over-under. Well, Chelsea, who do they have next?
Well, this is the gauntlet as well. And let me tell you the teams Chelsea's playing, and then I'll pass it over to Dylan, who ended last pod, like I mentioned, being a secret agent for us. They got Blackburn in the EFL Cup this week, but then it's Tottenham, City, Newcastle, Brighton, Man United. Next five in the Premier League, which is not a fun gauntlet.
It's tough. This was the game that... I'm just saying, this is a game that out of that, like, because they won two that I didn't expect them to win, I was like, all right, it's going to be three, and then they're going to... probably not win anymore. And the fact that they dropped this, like, and Michael touched on it, and I know this is common sense, but like, Brentford just waited for their one opportunity and took it. Mm-hmm. And then sat back and played defense because it's a team that has no teeth whatsoever going at them. And having watched that for the past 2 years, like, Chelsea fans, like, that sucks. Like, knowing that if someone scores a goal, the best you're going to get out of it is a draw. Like, there's nothing more devastating than watching that. And it's unfortunate, because that's what it shouldn't be like that when you spend that type of money, but you know what? True. Spend it better.
Yeah, I think the recruitment's bad. Michael, last point?
I'm pretty sure we said 7.5, right? Points over under in the 9-game stretch.
Yeah.
So, no, they're at 7 right now.
I think I said 5.5. I was feeling really aggressive that day.
Oh, I thought we just set an over-under and then everyone picked.
No.
Well, I was over or under the 7.
I was the over. I know that for sure.
Okay, so if they don't, they have to get a draw.
Yeah.
In the those next games to hit the over. I, honest to God, don't think they're going to do it.
They'll draw City.
United no, they might won't. Give them the way
you
United
are so
playing.
Stupid. That's the only one. That's the only one I think they have a chance.
Yeah, they're both in a tailspin. Dylan, great transition. Speaking of Man United, Manchester Derby. This was at the Theater of Dreams, so to speak. 3-0 win by City. Haaland with a pen in the 26th. He got another goal in the 49th. Foden in the 80th. All 3 points for City. There's two players, I will say this, for United that I was like, all right, they played very decent. I said in the chat, Onana had a yellow card, so his rating was going to be trash, but this guy had like two or three amazing saves throughout the game. He played really, really well. He plays really well against City, if everyone remembers the Champions League final. And my other thing is, the only thing that Ten Hag has figured out right now is that Scott McTominay needs to play advanced midfield. Like, he looked dangerous, like crazy dangerous. Outside of that, this team stinks. And the old saying is the fish rots at the head. And I know the ownership suck too, and every United fan would be the first one to tell you that. But I think that you wholesale, maybe fire everyone. They need a full layoff. Maybe take a couple weeks off. Forfeit. Wouldn't be as embarrassing as some of the shit that went on in this game. I don't know. But they're a mess.
Who wants to go first?
I mean, I agree. Like, them and Chelsea have so much similarities where there isn't a plan. And it's just the same thing. It's individual, and then they go out there, and nothing works. And, like, I should have probably looked this up, but, like, Garnacho, is he injured?
No, he played.
He came on.
But he came off the bench, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I don't know. I think there's a certain point where, and I get you can't go into tanking mode, but, like, you got to change it up at some point and start trying to figure out what's working and what's not. And, like, I don't know. They're just in a rut that I don't see them getting out of. And it's crazy, and I know it changes, but, like, how we thought they were in the right trajectory, and then now it's just, like, they need to, because I think, Michael, you're probably going to this, what you texted Nick, like, they need to rip it all down and start completely over again, which we've said probably, what, 5 times in the last 3 years about United, which is wild, but, like, they have to actually commit to it.
This is, though, like, we don't often get to see, like, a dynasty or, like, an empire fall, and they haven't won in a long time, but this is actually, like, the last days of Rome, I think, with this club. I think they are to the core a mess.
Like, when you say that, though, you mean, like, they're going to somehow not be in the Premier League in, let's say, 10 years type of thing? Or, like, they're just going to be... Because also, like, the Big Six might not actually really be a thing anymore with how things are going. But, like, are we saying they're just a mid-table team at this point?
I think that the money is too concentrated at the top, at, like, the Premier League compared to the other leagues, that, like, they have too much of it to get relegated. Like, I think that that'd be crazy. I am now, though, how Michael is with Everton. I am with like that with these guys, and I'll get to that why I am. But, like, I don't think it'd be possible for them to get relegated. I do think, though, 12, 13, around there, that's definitely a possibility coming up, for sure.
I don't think they're that bad, but... I just 12-13 is like Crystal Palace right now.
Yeah.
And I think they're better than Palace.
Are they better than us? I think
they're probably. Yeah, probably.
Yeah, Wolves have an identity.
Without the referees on their side.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go. Look, their issue. I think John and I had a conversation about this where you texted me during that game and you said, are we sure Gvardiol's even good? Because he was, like, kind of fucking around a little bit. And I was like, yes, he's very good. He's, like, what, 20 years old, 21 years old? He's an absolute animal. He's going to be a beast. And then I said, are we sure Marcus Rashford's even good? Because I think he has a goal and maybe an assist. And then if you look at the rest of that front line, those attacking players, there's not very much of anything up there. They have no way of scoring. They have one way of playing. And it kind of... it's just outlet to Rashford. And with Hoyland now, I think he's actually looked pretty good in some of these games. He's incredibly fast, but it's so predictable what they're going to do that if you can just figure out how to stop it, they're not going to score on you. And then I understand they have injuries, Varane, Martinez, and stuff like that, but God, that defense is terrible. I thought Amrabat was running around all game trying to put out fires, and it's just not they can't do anything. And if it weren't for Onana, it would have been like 6-0.
Yeah. And go ahead.
It could have been 7-0 if Harry Maguire didn't hug. He literally gave a bear hug to Haaland maybe 7 different times in that game.
Okay.
And like and that was like the best defensive strategy I think that they implemented.
Yeah.
And that's the thing too, because the penalty, which I think I'm fine with it being a pen, okay? But if you hear the announcers talking about it, they thought that that was a penalty because they thought that Rodri had a reasonable chance of getting on the end of that ball, okay? Which is a subjective thing to say, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't love going to the monitor to re-referee that decision when the reason that, again, you probably should have had another one with how Harry Maguire was all over Haaland that one time. But they said he, you know, wasn't anywhere near the play. And I'm like, bro, have you seen this guy, like, jump in the air and fucking scorpion kick the ball in the back of the net? Like, you don't know what he's, you know, what he's capable of doing. He was holding him for an hour. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I just hate that it's, like, the subjective stuff that we're given a penalty for. He didn't hold his shirt. He just, like, had his arm around him. I don't know. I think, like, if you call it on the field, fine. But if you don't, I don't like changing it.
I agree. I think it's not a penalty on the field. I think when you go back and look at it, it's kind of like how we always say things in slow motion look worse than they are. The one thing I'll say is Rodri had a clear path. You see Hoyland look at Rodri being like, oh, fuck, that was actually my guy. And then you see the arm go out, and then they're going to give it, like, whatever. So, on replay, yes, it's a penalty. In real time, they didn't call it. I said to 3 different people, I was like, that's a really soft penalty. Like, I had no doubt we were going to score anyway. The only other thing that I wanted to get to, and if there's more you guys want to say, feel free, but, like, I think there's one other storyline here, is Bruno Fernandes does not deserve to be a captain of any Premier League team. I don't care if it's Man United. I don't care if it's Luton. Yeah, you have been early to this. And, like, just scumbag human being behavior by him and Antony. Just kind of like they were down by 3. Antony came on in the 87th minute, and then in the 2nd minute of stoppage time, takes a full-legged swipe at Doku. And, like, just, I don't know, it's a fucking child. Like, that's the first thing when I have a kid, I'll be like, don't do that. That's stupid. Don't be a little bitch. I don't know.
Well,
pisses me off.
Did anyone ask? I want to know, because did anyone ask Ten Hag, like, listen, if you're fouling people, like, I don't think a manager should have to, like, call for every single foul their player commits. But when it's, like, so obviously you're just, like, vandalizing somebody, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I would be like, so you brought on Antony, what, in the whatever minute? What was his purpose of being out there? Was it just to fucking kick the shit out of people for the most part? He's too busy worrying about the penalty change of the game. I have no comment about it. I mean, just ridiculous. I think that he was talking about Pep and Klopp's era. I think his era is over. I think they need to move on from him.
Yeah. I think that if I get the updates as often as I do, and I see the results, this Man United team is in a better place at the table. There's better discipline, and there's an actual leader if Nick Tucker is manager of this team. I say that with a straight face. I swear to God. Nick,
at least
that was
little,
for you.
A little bit of, at least be a little bit of discipline.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I guarantee you Antony went into the locker room and nothing was said to him. I think the inmates are running the asylum at this place. And, you know.
Well, it's been like that for a while.
Yeah. But I think, like I said, fish rotting at the head. I think that's the culture of Man United now. All right, Premier League week done. We're going to jump into, damn it, I thought we were going faster than we were. We were not. Let's jump into predictions. A few quick housekeeping notes. We should be doing this at the beginning. I'm bad at this. But if you're listening and you're watching on YouTube, like, follow, subscribe, share, do all the shit. Leave a comment. Don't leave a comment about the Taylor Swift thing like the person did this past week. That was like an absolute book report. That was crazy. And then the other thing is, that's awesome. it was insane. I showed it to Alexis.
That's,
and
she so
was like,
funny.
That's intense. The other thing is,
pack it up.
And this is giving you guys a little heads up too. I will be out next week. I'm running the New York Marathon and then jumping on a flight to Aruba. So, Michael, as vice captain of the podcast, figure that out. Good luck. So you will not hear me next week. I wanted
it's
to get ahead
all gonna
of that.
Be. It's all going to be stats, statistics next week, guys. Bring your calculators.
And okay. and the album artwork is going to be phenomenal, as always.
Hell yeah. Out. Yes, sure. I love doing that shit.
I just wanted to say that, though, because if we lose to Bournemouth next week, I don't want to hear any shit. I'm getting ahead of me being out. I know people need to know that. So, with that said,
ridiculous.
Let's get into match week 11, our predictions, full slate of games. Fulham is hosting that train wreck that we were just talking about, Man United. Michael, lead us off. Who do you got in this one?
Can I go last? I want to know what you guys picked.
Okay. I got United. I don't know.
I can 100% tell you United's going to win this game because I'm taking a tie because I have no faith in them right now.
All right, I'll also go United, but before we go any further, John, I wanna ask, what is our, which one's gonna be our game of the week? I want you to pick. Don't say anything, but pick, and I'll tell you if I agree with you.
Okay. It's like, don't say what it is.
Well, when you introduce the game, say if this is your game of the week, and I'll tell you if I agree or not.
Okay. Michael, what'd you get in this one? You had United, you said.
Yeah, I'll go United. It's not worth me trying to fuck around and get ahead or anything.
Yeah. All right. Game of the week. No, I'm just kidding. Brentford hosting.
Damn it.
Hosting West Ham. I got a draw. Do I think Brentford's back? No. Do I think West Ham's slide continues? Yes. So I got a draw. Dylan, who you got?
I have Brentford. I don't think they're back. I think that West Ham isn't, though, so I will be taking Brentford at home.
Ooh, like it. Michael?
West Ham have lost three in a row, counting the Olympiacos game. No Paqueta. I was leaning towards a draw, but you gave me that Paqueta information. I'm going to go Brentford win.
Like it. All right, so we're down on West Ham this week. Burnley hosting Palace. I got a draw as well. I might regret this. I kind of want to go Palace, but it's at Burnley. It's at Turf Moor. It's do or die, I think, a little bit for company. I don't think he gets fired, but I got a draw on this one. Michael, what you got?
I got a draw as well. I'm leaning kind of towards a Burnley win because I just think desperation kind of ups the game a little bit, but I just also think they're not very good.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Dylan?
I'm going to take Burnley. I think the exact thing. I think desperation, they need the win, and I think Crystal Palace... I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure the big boys are still out. Their dynamic duo next week, so like they're a relegation side without them. So I think Burnley ends up just getting something out of this.
Yeah. Everton, they got Brighton. Dylan, who you got in this one?
I don't know. I kind of want to take a tie, but I'm gonna do Brighton.
I think this is sneaky one of the harder weeks we've had to predict games. Michael, who you got? Everton hosting Brighton.
I will have to be like fully off of the Brighton bandwagon if they can't beat Everton.
I agree. I got Brighton as well. City hosting Bournemouth. City. I got City. Michael, you got City.
Sorry, Craig. City.
Yeah, sorry, Craig. Dylan. Sheffield United, they're gonna host Wolves. Big 3 points for you guys. We've talked about how bad Sheffield are. This would make you guys be sitting pretty decent, I think. So who you got?
I'm I'm going to do something I never do, which means the Wolves are going to lose. No, fuck it. I'm taking a tie. I have to. I was going to pick the Wolves to actually just win, but I don't think I can do it. I'll take a
Michael?
Tie.
Michael, you got?
I got the Wolves. I can't in good faith pick Sheffield United to get any points right now. Until Wilder comes back, no shot.
Oh, if there's a team, if there's a team that historically will be happily to give the last place team some points, it's us. So
yeah,
just want to throw that out there.
I got Wolves as well. I do think if you get this dub, I think that since my comments about everyone supporting Wolves, you guys have 7 points, maybe more, but looking pretty good. I'm your good luck charm. All right, Michael, game of the week, in my opinion. Newcastle hosting Arsenal. It is going to be a tough match. I know that Newcastle's on a little bit of a skid, but anytime you go to the Tyneside, it's not an easy game. Who do you got in this one?
This is so hard. By the way, I agree. I think game of the week, like for the Premier League, is Spurs Chelsea, but we have our own platform. We get to do what the fuck we want. This is a way better game. Newcastle lost to Dortmund at home. They just tied Wolves at the Molyneux. So I think they're a little uneasy. Arsenal, I mean, they played Sheffield United, beat them 5-0, you know, kind of expected. I weirdly want to go Newcastle here. I think this is going to be hype. I think this is going to be a big game. All the pressure's on Arsenal. They haven't lost yet. Newcastle typically better at home. I know that I just said they lost to Dortmund at home. I'm going to put my neck out here, and I'm going to go Newcastle.
Dylan?
Got to beat teams the road to the top. Gunners.
I got a draw, so we're all over the board on this one.
Somebody will be right.
I think, yeah, someone will get a win on this one. I think I got to go back and look. I think this is one of the best games we've had all season, like matchup-wise. Like, I think this will be one of the most interesting, best games we've had all season. A game that definitely won't be. Nottingham Forest is going to host Villa. I got Villa. Dylan.
Villa.
Michael.
Villa.
Luton. They got Liverpool. Liverpool's going into that small-ass stadium. Who you got?
Please, 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 Liverpool. Don't let it happen.
I got Liverpool as well. Dylan.
Liverpool.
And then the Rebecca Lowe game of the week, I guess, since that's probably what NBC has, like Michael said. Tottenham hosting Chelsea. Michael, since you got to defer on the last one, I'm making you go first on this one.
I don't know why you would want my opinion first. This is a Spurs win every time.
Yeah. Okay. Me too.
This is not a hard decision.
I got Tottenham as well. Dylan, who you got?
I have Tottenham too.
All right. Predictions in. Predictions done. Just a quick little recap. It was a pretty standard week last week. Dylan, you and I went 5-5. Michael and Nick went 6-4. Michael's still in the lead at 62-38. Nick is in second, 61-39. I'm in third, 60-40. Dylan, we got to make up some ground here, 53-47. But again, everyone over 500, please show us another podcast that is doing that. I'd actually be interested, to be honest with you.
And I pick against myself every single week. I'm dropping points literally.
To be honest, too, it's like being able to see one of those baseball stats where it's like, hey, this guy's hitting this much, and at one point, he was 0-30. Dylan, you're 6 games over 500, and you went 2-8 and 3-7 in 2 different weeks.
I'm streaky. Yeah, I'm either going to get them all right or I'm getting them all wrong. There's no in between.
Exactly. Any bets for you this week?
My far too early bets, just looking at this right now, is we'll take Fulham double chance, -125. Play that one safe. I don't know why. If Brighton wins, it's a 1-0 or 2-0, or it's going to be a slog. So I'm taking the under 2.5 in that game at +140. I believe in Burnley this week, so I will take them +170 to win. And then this will probably only have one goal in it, but I'm praying for it to be a banger. So over 2.5 in Newcastle Arsenal at -125.
I like those. The only one I didn't like was the Brighton one, because most goals given up, most goals scored. Kind of goes against the logic we mentioned earlier.
You're zigging, I'm zagging. That's how this works.
True. Absolutely. People paint with different colors. I like it. Let's get us out of here with the joke.
All right. Well, happy holidays, boys. What's a ghost's favorite soccer position? A goalkeeper. Happy Halloween. Cheers.
NAFTA podcast.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.